I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
It seems a while since we had the great celebration of Easter Day, but all through the year we have recollections, remembrances of Easter. In fact, every Sunday is a little Easter as we proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ, participate in his victory over death in this life-giving sacrament, and as we meditate upon the great mystery of the redemption. And today is no different. We have a little Easter today, and the apostle reminding us about the great fact of the resurrection and the redemption that is occurring even now in the body of Christ. Jesus Christ, the first fruits, the first one to rise again from the dead. Now we who are incorporated into his body, already experiencing the first part of the first resurrection, which is a turn to God in repentance and a turn to now a new life of love and of expectation. And then we await the glorious consummation of the victory of Christ in the coming day of the resurrection, when he will raise up the dead, and those who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air. And so we are a people who are in expectation, waiting for the coming of Christ and the great cataclysmic end of history, when all shall be well, as Christ ushers in the fullness of his redemption in the coming day. So here is the apostle reminding us of that, saying, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed and revealed in us. So it's going to happen in us. What are the sufferings of this present time? It's very easy to get caught up in the sufferings of this present time. We knew they would come. Jesus said, in this world, ye shall have a bed of roses. Is that the promise? In this world, you shall have tribulation. Yeah, the thorns on the rose. In this world, in this life, you will have tribulation. This is what happens in this world. So Jesus said that's what will come. We can expect that. On our pilgrim path, we can expect hardships and difficult trials and times that will test our souls and purify us. We are ready for that. Right? Everybody ready for that? I'm not sure I'm that ready for that. But that's what's coming. In this world, you will have tribulation. And St. Paul was no stranger to suffering. If you look at it closely at his life, I mean, he suffered many things for the gospel of Christ. All those days in fastings and without proper clothing and watchings in the night and all the trouble he had in the churches and then the times he was shipwrecked and the times he was whipped for, you know, for what fault? For preaching the gospel showing that the life of Christ. No, he was no stranger to suffering. So if he can say this, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall come. Here's how we make ourselves ready. We make ourselves ready for the sufferings of this life by keeping focus on the glory which shall come. And so I like to think of it like a long hike. When I was a kid, we used to hike a lot, and one of my great favorite hikes in Utah is the hike up to Mount Tippinogos. It's a 16-miler, probably 1,500 feet elevation, maybe more. And, you know, the first 4 miles through woods, and then you break through the tree line, and then it's, you know, you see the summit for a long time. You have to hike up past the glacier, and you get up onto the mountain. But once you arrive at the summit, it's this incredible, you're on top of the world. You can see 80 miles out over Utah Lake and to the west, and then to the east, out to Heber Valley. It's extraordinary, this vista that you have. So I internalized as a kid that, you know, it's worth the pain of the hike to get to the summit. And so I think about it this way. The pilgrim path is hard, but I reckon that the sufferings of this present hike are not worthy to be compared with the joy of the summit, when we finally break through and see the vista that God has for us, that experience of freedom and the beauty of the beatific vision of dwelling with God face to face. So that sustains us, right? In the hard times, when we're going through the difficulties of this life, we keep in mind the glory that will come. That's a hard script to overcome. We really need to internalize this as Christians. We really need to focus on the resurrection. Because so many messages are coming at us that would keep us in not hope but despair and hopelessness. So if you think about there's a German proverb that comes to mind. What is this life about? Work hard, build a little house, die. Haven't you ever heard that before? What are you looking forward to? Isn't there anything beyond that? Yes, for the Christian there is. We need to extend the metaphor. We need to, it's not just the this life and then die. It's the what happens when you die? We go to be with the Lord in paradise. And we're in a place of refreshment, of peace, where we can rest in peace, where we go from strength to strength in a life of perfect service, while we await in expectation the glorious resurrection of the dead, when we'll be rejoined with our body. And then the body will be transformed into a glorious state where we will never know pain or sickness again. I may have an infirmity now, but there's none of that in heaven. And so I need to remember that. If I'm struggling right now with a physical infirmity, well, there's none of that in heaven. There are no sufferings there. There is an end to the suffering. The enemy wants us to think that it's always going to be suffering. The glorious revelation of God, and who do we fear most? Who do we trust most? The glorious revelation of God is that suffering will cease and God himself will wipe away every tear from the eye. And so we wait for that. Yes, in this world we will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, says Jesus Christ. And so that is our portion. And not just for us. This glory will be revealed in us. This is going to happen. The glory of God will be manifested in our resurrection and glorification. And it's going to go through all creation. So right now, all of creation groans and travails in pain together until waiting for the resurrection, waiting for the manifestation of the resurrection in mankind, and then it too will have a share in the glory that God is manifesting in us. So as Christians, we understand by revelation that man is the pinnacle of all creation. God made us in his own image. Our human race made in his own image. We show the glory of God in our stewardship over the earth. But in the fall, when Adam and Eve transgressed and went against God's will, which is perfect love, death came into the world. There was no death in paradise, but by the sin of Adam and Eve, death came into the world. And now, the whole creation groans in pain together until now. So think about that. No death before the fall. That means there was no predation before the fall. No bigger animals eating little animals. No little fish being swallowed up by bigger fish, being swallowed up by bigger fish. No Discovery Channel, cheetah takedown of the little gazelle. None of that. No ripping or tearing of flesh. And the predation. There is no predation in paradise. And there is no predation in heaven. That's an in-between season where the fall is now, yes, we are in a fallen state, is being overcome by the victory of Christ, he the first fruits of the resurrection, we who follow now and are experiencing his life, and then the final end in glory when the lion will lay down with the lamb. And the heavenly vision is there is no predation, there is no animal eating another animal. There is no exploitation, no death. And so we're waiting for that. Now, we have a great message to bring to those who are in despair about the state of this planet. Those who are, listening very closely or very affected by the fear-mongering of environmentalists who are saying, even the elephants are going to go extinct in our lifetime. And they see man as a scourge. My father, born in 1937, there were 2 billion people on the planet. Now, how many? 8 billion. In his lifetime, the world population has quadrupled. Now, we might rejoice in that. That's more people made in the image of God, whom God loves, whom Jesus died for. We can rejoice in that. This is the future company of heaven. Radical environmentalists want to see human beings like a scourge, like a cancer on the planet that must be eradicated. They never start with themselves. They want other people to make the sacrifice. But they see a vision of the wild as the utopia, and man is not in the picture. Now think about that. Their message to the world is one of fear, is one of, you know, impending doom. It's one of those, if not work hard, build a little house, die. It's that, this planet has a, you know, is dying, and we're watching it, and it's all death and decay. That's all you can see. Oh, we can see beyond that. As Christians, we can see beyond that. Yes, the whole creation groans and travails in pain right now. We don't deny that. But as good stewards, we do what we can to overcome it in our own life. And we proclaim the coming day of the resurrection of Christ, when all that will be put away, when death will be swallowed up in victory, and the life of Christ will be manifest in us as we're glorified in Him, and then over all creation will share in the glorious liberty of the children of God. That day is coming. So we have something of hope to hold out to the world. For those who are in despair, we always can show them hope. And is it hope in some kind of fantasy that they might just, you know, put on the rosy-colored glasses and be optimists about things and try and say the bright side? No, it's in the fact of God's love for us and the redemption of our human race by the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that extends over all creation, and how this is being accomplished even now. We're in that in-between time, that point of tension, and the fullness is coming, and that we proclaim, for He shall come again with great glory to judge both the living and the dead. We await that glorious day. And so in hope and expectation, let us be comforted on this pilgrim path. Many ways that God is showing us the glory to come. There is the daybreak that happens after the darkest of nights. There is joy that comes in the morning. There is the spring that comes after winter. There is the opportunity to see in our own lives the big vista after we've made the hike. And so may God strengthen us this morning with the joy of Easter and make us strong in our pilgrim path. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.